Simin Shin Chaf Aleph Sif Tes Zayin, the Psak of the Ramah and the Mishnah Brura over there in Sif Katan Samach Vav through Samaches, which say that the ideal form of Lisha is only a Blila Raka with two Shinuyim. And B'siyat HaDeshmaya, we were Masbir that position. The position of the Chazon Ish was quite different. The Chazon Ish was of the opinion that it seems he even was suggesting at Lahalacha that a Blila Raka would be mutter with just one Shinui of the Nesina Smayim and would not require Shinui in the Gibul. That's what we saw in the Chazon Ish, and we developed where, even though the Chazon Ish questioned the Trumas Hadeshen, where the Trumas Hadeshen was coming from. So finally, in terms of Halacha Maisa, wrapping that up in the first paragraph of the outline, so they're just under the title Chazara, so I just concluded that the Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita Neshona Halacha Sifkatan Lamed Hei actually spells out that the Chazon Ish in his Sefer was Mekel. The words are, but Chazon Ish Kasav Diblila Raka Ein Tzarach Shinui B'Gibul. That when it comes to Blila Raka, there isn't a requirement of Shinui in the Gibul, and that stands in contrast to what we saw L'chadchil in the Mishnah Brura. What we're going to do today, B'siyata D'Shmaya, is continue on with the practical examples of the Mishnah Brura. And then when the Mishnah Brura sort of scales back, and the Mishnah Brura scales back and begins to be a little bit more makel than the Trumas Hadesha, and we'll try to understand where that is coming from. So again, according to the Mechaber we discussed last week, we saw Rav Levi in the Menuchas Ava, his position that the Mechaber would also be much more makel than the Trumas Hadeshen. And now what we're going to focus on is within the Psak of the Mishnah Brura. What we're going to start from is a question where the Magen Avram and Taz differ in terms of how to read the Ramah. If you take a look at the Taz in Shin Chaf Aleph Yud Beis, he does not learn like we had presented last Thursday. The Shach in Sif Katan Yud Beis has a different take. And we're going to see that the Mishnah Brura, when he backtracks doesn't mean he changes his mind. Backtracks in the sense that there are times that he says that we're, that Bidyevet will be more Mekel, he makes reference to this Taz. And the Taz in Sif Katan Yud Beis says the following. I'm reading about three lines in the edition that many of you have, the Behir, not the Chadash, though. So I don't know, many of you have it. It's four lines into the wide Yud Beis. He says, Vihine, maybe even two lines in. Let's start in two lines in Yud Beis. Vihine adeya dekan besiv zeh, u besiv achrov, sheitiru laseis mashke b'shabes, hudas harif varam varash. Those who don't require shinui, that we saw in Yudal and Tesvav, those are Rav Rishon and the Paskin Kurab Yossi Rehuda. V'alkein ein tzarach shinui b'nesinas hamashke. Skip a line. U betrumas hadeshen matrich od shinui. And the trumas hadeshen requires another shinui. Be'irav shlo yitrefenu b'kli. And then the Taz says, Vayesh omrim shemevi shulchan aruch b'siv she'acharzeh. And the Yesh Omrim that's found in Sif Tezayin, Hu Balatrumos, Shepose Kerebi, Din Mesinis Mashka Hua Isur, Imkein Lo Mahani Hashinu Shiasa Be'iruv. According to Trumas Hadeshen, the Shinui of the Gibel is not going to be enough. And here the Taz says something that you're going to find controversial if you did Chazara. Virama Hetik Hashinui Lechud. Velo zachar blilaso raka. And the Ramah, when he mentions the Shinui, he makes no mention of blila raka. What is the Taz referring to? The Taz is referring to when the Ramah says, Vim nasana ochel tchil v'acha kacha chomitz in sifta zayin, o ayayin u'ma'arva be'etzbo shari, dahave Shinui. There, he doesn't say anything about the requirement of raka. In Shulchan Aruch, we have the reference of Rak and Sif Yudalid, particularly in regards to the case of Shisisa. However, the Taz claims that there's no mention in the Ramah of Raka. Hence, the Taz concludes, we're going to explain why the Mishnah Brura didn't go that way shortly, but hence the Taz concludes, Venerali, The osan shenoag in heter al yidei shinu nesina saochel shezachar arama svira lehalachik Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda ukedeya kamaisa umin adin ein sarach shinu rak b'mashenim arav bekoach. Says the Taz, really all you have to do is be careful not to do lisha bekoach, to do the gibul with a shinui. And he adds, Valkein lo hutzrichu kam blila saraka, and it doesn't even require blila raka. Why would it not require blila raka? Because blila raka we had seen within Shitas Rebbe. We don't see that there is a requirement of blila raka on most items aside from shisisa. And claims the Taz, therefore, one would not need to have blila raka. All you need to do, me'ikur dedina, is make a shinui in the gibul, or in other words, don't do the gibul strong. This is the position of the Taz. Now the reason why the Mishnah Brura doesn't go that way, based on the Magen Avraham, which we're going to see shortly, but first let's see it in the words of the Mishnah Brura. The reason why the Mishnah Brura didn't pask in this way is because, and the question is, how did the Taz read the Ramah? The Mishnah Brura has a strong reason. V'chein kasu achron, the last line on page 300 in the standard editions of the Mishnah Brura, Sif Katan Samach Vav, there the Mishnah Brura says, V'chein kasu achronim, dahagom mayri dafka b'lila raka, v'lazet tzien kemo b'shesisa, that the Ramah concluded, kemo b'shesisa, just like shesisa, we know has to be b'lila raka, so too the Ramah in Sif Katan Tazayim, yes, Taz, he didn't say there needs to be b'lila raka, but he said kemo b'shesisa. So this is going to be the fault line between the Taz and many others. The Magen Avraham, which is the source of the Mishnah Brura, in Sif Katan Chav Dalet, is what we saw in the Mishnah Brura, where he says, Davashinu kimal b'shisisa v'dafka v'raka, particularly raka. But Ava lo molo shinui, but when it comes to Ava, shinui is not going to help. Why do I mention it now? Well, I said we're going to get to examples. First of all, you have to know that there is this machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avraham, Bedas HaRamah. The way we were presenting the Trumas HaDesh and the Ramah, in contrast to the Chazon Ish, is not the whole story. That the Taz is much more makel than we had presented last week. But even the Mishnah Brura himself is going to make use of this Shita of the Taz in cases of B'di'evet. So that's what I mean, that the Mishnah Brura is going to scale back. So let's take a look and now see the Mishnah Brura inside in Sif Katan Samach Ches, once we're aware of that machlokas. Says we started the Mishnah Brura last time, let's continue on. Let's continue on where with Ubayerek. Ubayerek hanikra shlatin. When it comes to vegetables like leaves, lettuce, ein ledakdek b'chol zeh, then you don't have to be concerned. It's all about lisha, kimashen chol tchanos ledakdek. Mishnah Brura Sif Katan Samaches. Avol mashe chotchin tznon v'kishun, but those who cut up radishes and cucumbers, dak dak v'shovchin chometz oshar dover lach l'tochon marvim osan yachad, srichin lizar shalor l'arev b'kach b'koach. You have to be careful not to mix with a spoon in a strong manner. O yinanea b'kliatzmo. V'tov l'achmer gam ken sh'itin ha'chometz v'achar kacha machal. And it would be best to be machmir. Why to be best to be machmir? He realizes that this is a chumrah of the Trumas Hadeshen, and he said, because we're choshesh for Shitas Rebbe, and therefore we have raka plus the two shinuim, as we elaborate on. Here, though, we get into cases of bidyevet. Continues the Mishnah Brura. Ukeshechal Pesach b'Shabbos. V'shachach m'v'od yom litein amashka l'tocha charoses. If Pesach falls out on Shabbos, the first night of Pesach is Friday night, and you realize that on Friday you had forgotten to prepare the charoses, and of course the charoses is a mixture of small pieces of apple and nut with wine. L'deya kamaisa muter litena mashke b'Shabbos v'lo yitref b'kaf ela be'etzba. According to the first opinion, what does that mean, the first opinion? That means the one that paskins like Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda. Then you're allowed to put the mashkin on Shabbos, no problem. And all you have to do is be careful not to be Torif Bekaf. All you have to do is use an etzba. The Sharet Zion asks on himself, wait a second, says the Sharet Zion, in Sif Katan, Pei Dalid, Va'aftuhu Aveh, wait a second, Last week we ended off that the only way in Ashkenaz, before we saw the Taz, okay, but even without the Taz, the only way in Ashkenaz that you'd be able to do mix on Shabbos is Raka and a Shinui in the Nesias Mayim as well as a Shinui in the mixin. Says the Shaar Tzion, but here it's Ava. Uba Ava Machmer Hayesh Omrim Mipnei Nesinas Hamashke. And we have the Yesh Machmirim who say that you have to be Machmer on the Nesinas Hamashke. And what does that mean also? You can also have to be Machmer on Raka as well. Kosova Taz, the Bitsnon, Mipnei Shi Efshe Lasos Me'er Shabbos, Samchinan Adeya Kamaisa. So here the Mishnah Brura begins to rely on the Shita of the Taz. The Taz who says, we pass like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, there's really no makar that you have to be any more machmer, even by Ava, than to be careful not to do a good Gibul. And if you do a real Shinui in the Gibul, then that is going to be enough. And hence, the Mishnah Brura says, the same is going to apply in regards to this charoses. That this charoses is a bidyevet. So as if you take a look in our outline, we have shtayim shein shalosh, three different examples of bidyevets that come up in the poskim. Number one, you have the case that the Taz made reference, that the Sharatian quote from the Taz, I didn't go on and read it for you inside, but it's there. That over there in the Taz in Sifkatan Yudbeis, the Taz says that since Me'ikur Dedina, we pass on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and the Ramah, when he was Machmir on Raka and Tushinuyim, was only L'Racha Milsa, it wasn't Me'ikur Dedina. Therefore, he says, in an instance of where the food is going to spoil, that's going to be our first case of Shas Hadchak, when we're not going to follow the Trumas Hadeshen. And the Taz admits that we're not following the Trumas Hadeshen, but he thinks that the Ramah himself wasn't entirely following the Trumas Hadeshen. And therefore, the Taz says that the halacha would be that if you have a mixture, that if you mix it before Shabbos, it would spoil. Take, for example, guacamole. That if you didn't have refrigeration, so then in such a case, clearly that will spoil, assuming the fascinating phenomenon that where the pit is going to affect the freshness of the guacamole. My daughter, Meishi Well, is all excited about that. And she's been doing a lot of experiments around the house where you put the guacamole and where you put the pit. In fact, yesterday I was making my coffee. It was mamish. I felt like it was a matin for the sugya. This is the other daughter. And I was making my coffee. All of a sudden I see this like strange thing in a cup of water. It looked like an ostrich egg. And then I realized she had put the guacamole pit in some water. I'm not sure what her cheshbon was. But at the end of the day, once upon a time, without refrigeration, guacamole is a good example of something that would spoil very, very quickly. So the Taz says that in such a case, you can make it on Shabbos. No problem to make it on Shabbos, even Blila Ava, but you would have an appropriate shinui in the mixing. The mixing wouldn't be a mixing of Lisha, like we saw, similar to what we're going to see shortly in the Chazon Ish. And therefore, the Taz says that would be acceptable. So says the Mishnah Brura, Charoses is another good example of that. When it comes to Charoses, in a case of Bidyeved, you forgot, so then in such a case, halacha would be that it would be permissible to make it in this manner according to the first Deya, and back into the Mishnah Brura in the second line, Uladas HaYesh Omrim, and according to Yesh Omrim, Gam Ze Osur, Im Lo Shiyasa Osa Gam Kein Raka. And according to Yesh Omrim, so then the halacha would be that you will also have to make it Raka. Then the Mishnah Brura gets stuck. It's very interesting. In Pei Vav, I'd like you to come over in Seder and tell me how to read the Sharetzian in Pei Vav. But then the Sharetzian asks, but wait a second. He says, but Charoses has to be thick. The whole point of the Charoses is that it represents the mortar. And the mortar is a Blila Ava, not Blila Raka. So he gets stuck over there. How are you going to make Charoses? I tried to look around and see. I didn't see anybody discuss it. Also, how to read the Sharetzian. I'd like to hear what you have to say, how we solve that. He seems to say, well, if you started out and you start out Ava, then it'll be okay, even if it ends up Raka. A little bit interesting how the Sharatian solves that problem. But what you see from this, the case of Charoses becomes a trendsetter, because what you see from the Charoses case is that the Mishnah Brura was willing to step back from the Chumrah of the Trumas Hadeshen in a case of a Tzorech. And that's exactly, if you take a look in your booklet exactly how the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa presents the Sugya Halacha Lamaisa. We're going to come back to Charoses, by the way, but just in terms of seeing it Halacha Lamaisa, if you take a look after the Chazon Ish in your booklet, so there you have Sif Yud Aleph, but I did not photocopy for you Sif Zayin or Ches. As I made reference to, I think, last time, in Perek Ches, it's probably in the last booklet, Perek Ches Sif Tes, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa is exactly how we delineated earlier. Blila Ava Asur Lahachin B'Shabbos, Blila Ava is Asur, and Blila Raka requires two Shinuim. That's why the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa paskins in Perek Ches Sif Tes, initially. However, in Sif Yud Alf, and that you have photocopy in front of you, he says, B'shas HaTzorech, Dahainu Kishi, and he says, gives us a couple examples. Dahainu Kishi Iyav Shalitein HaMashke B'chomer HaYovesh Be'erev Shabbos, if we're afraid that it's going to spoil in some way, and he makes reference here to Sharetzim Pei Dalet, O Sheshachach LaHakin, or you forgot, that's a case of Charoses, V'uzakuk L'machalzeh, and it's Night of Pesach, you need charoses. O kishetzarach lachin ochel teri kigom b'shvil atinok. Or in the case of a child, you need to prepare. For some reason, it has to be fresh. Once upon a time, there was more of an understanding of why you need. If there wasn't refrigeration, nowadays, most instances, whatever you need fresh for a child, you'd be able to put in a refrigerator before Shabbos. Azay yochin es ablila hava b'Shabbos v'yakel l'shans from the same as hamashke. So then in such a case, he's megel with Belila Ava. Then in such an instance, Belila Ava is going to be acceptable. So here we see how the halacha develops. On the one hand, we have the Magen Avram with the Trumas Hadeshen, disagreement with the Taz of what the Psak of the Ramah is. Yet, at the end of the day, the Mishnah Berurah is aware that the Pashtus is, that according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, even a Blila Ava would be acceptable, and as long as you did a Shinui in the Gibel, that would be enough. And if you want to be Choshesh for the Dasa Yesh Omrim, so then in such a case, then you do a Shinui in the Mesinas HaMayim as well. Maybe that would be enough, or maybe you'll also have to do a Blila Raka, but there is a day that holds that would be enough. That's the Shita of the Taz. Is doing it with Blila Ava, and that finds its way into Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa because we have machlokis of how far we're really choshesh for the Trumas Hadesh. In other words, is Thursday Shir Amita L'Psak Halacha, that the way we understood the Trumas Hadesh is that really the Shita of the Ramah. That's machlokis between the Taz and the Magen Avram. Now, in regards to Magen Avram, I found a fantastic paradox. If you take a look in the photocopies of something to handle with in the Beis Medrash. If you take a look in Hilchos Pesach, in Simin Tov Ayin Gimel, so there the Magen Avram deals with the case of someone who forgets to make charoses on Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach. And the Magen Avram says as follows, Ma'at Chometz, he's describing there how you make charoses, V'imchal B'Shabbos, Yitein bo hamashke b'erev Shabbos, ayin simin shin chaf aleph, dal yidei shinui mutter, loseis hamashke b'Shabbos. Dahainu shiitein mashke t'chila, v'achakach, yiniach l'socha acharoses. So the Magen Avram says that it seems to say that with a shinui, it'll be mutter to do on Shabbos. Comments the Machzis HaShekel, Sivkot and Tezayin in the Machzis HaShekel, last two lines. Ayin Shom v'Magen Avram, D'Dafke B'Rach, Ava Ba'av, Lo Mahani Shinui. So I understand, you tell me how you understand this, but I understand that the Machzis HaShekel is asking a stira in the Magen Avram. The Ayinu that the Magen Avram says, if, as long as you do a couple of Shinuim, you're going to be okay with the Charoses. So, either the Machzis HaShekel is saying, make sure you do it rach, or as the Mishnah Berurah pointed out, how could you do charoses really rach? Then the Machzis HaShekel says that you, according to Magen Avram himself, in our simon, the halacha was, that's only going to be mutter if it's racha. So I don't know if it's a stira in Magen Avram, Machzis HaShekel is asking a stira, but he's pointing out that the Magen Avram himself found a way for you to make charoses on the night of Shabbos, on the night of Pesach, and this would be another smach, that there are times that even the Magen Avraham himself was going to be makel, unless you're going to learn that the Machzis HaShekel is saying that you could do it that you should do it rach as opposed to kasha. And then the Mishnah Berurah then asks in the Shaar HaTzion, how will you have charosis that's rach and not kasha? Bottom line is that the Magen Avraham himself is makel in those instances, which means lemaisa lemaisa lemaisa. On the one hand, the way I think many women are taught in seminary, or this is just the impression I got, it could be totally wrong, is that it's sort of given, you know, a token mention that, you know, almost everything you should do on Shabbos, you should do before Shabbos, because everything is a Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos. But just like other instances, like, let's say, Tochen La'altar. So Tochen La'altar, we have a Rambam Mefurish that says Tochen La'altar is mutter. But the poskim say it's best to do the Tochen before Shabbos. So my impression is that the same way it's said, it's best to make the tuna fish and the egg salad before Shabbos, but if you make it on Shabbos, then you do a double shinui. Then do the shinui do the nesinas ma'im opposite from what you normally do. In other words, the mayonnaise, put the mayonnaise in a different order than you normally used to. L'aniyas da'iti, that's not the correct way to teach it. Da'ainu, that it should be taught that it's usur to make tuna fish and egg salad according to the Trumas Hadeshen, which is a simple reading of the Rambam and the Mishnah Berurah, that it's aser. However, in a case of where a person forgot, and that's the Shmir, if you read the Shmir Shabbos, that is the way he said it. In a case of where a person forgot and they need the ochel, then in such an instance, also you need it. Not you need it. It doesn't. It's like you need when you need charoses. It's not that you have two dishes and then there's a third dish that you could make. You would like to have it. You prefer to have that over others. The halacha would be that l'chatchila should be done before Shabbos. However, those whose minig is, those who, we're going to see, there are people who have a minig to do it on Shabbos. There's no one who has an old minig to make tuna salad or egg salad on Shabbos. We're going to talk about an older minig. But those who for whatever reason, do it, yesh lam al milas smoch, of course, if they do, appropriate shinui of the gibel. But the Magen Avraham is black and white asr, and the Mishnah Berurah is asr, and the Mishnah Berurah was only makel in the case of charosis. It seems to me, at least when I was growing up, that was not the way it seemed to me that most people were educated as far. They were educated to do a little bit of a shinui, but that's it. But that you really cannot make it all together. Any blila ava, l'chatchila on Shabbos, has not been the way it's been taught to many. One of the reasons I think that it wasn't taught that way is because of Hanach li'Yisrael, that there are many in Klal Yisrael who are who have Yeshlan al Milesmach, not only the Taz, but also in the Chazon Ish. We have the Chazon Ish in Simin Nun Ches, Sif Dalid, where the Chazon Ish seems to say that whenever you have an instance where you're not Toref B'Koach, automatically, then you're never going to have an Isser of Lisha. There, the Chazon Ish is based on the Sugya of Chardol Shalashu Me'erev Shabbos, that the Gemara had told us that if you do Biyad, so then in such a case, that's not going to be considered a Shinu. Let's take a look at that Gemara, because there are a couple of points that the Chazon Ish is going to make in that Gemara that's going to be helpful. So that's a Gemara on Kuf Mem. So Gemara on Kuf Mem Amid Aleph tells us, Itmar, Chardol Shalosha Me'erev Shabbos. Chardol that's already been mixed on Erev Shabbos. L'machar Amar Rav. So in regards to Shabbos, what could you do with the Chardol? So Rav says, M'machal B'kli Avalo B'yad. You can mix it with the Kli, but not with your hand. Amar Le Shmuel. B'yad. Atu kula yoma machale biyad, maichol chamorimu. Shmuel says, wait a second. Biyad is going to be a problem and kli is going to be okay? Is biyad the way you normally mix it? In other words, Shmuel is saying you're going to need a shinui over here. And how do you normally mix the chardel? You wouldn't use your hand, because the way in which you use your hand is maichol chamorim. That's the way you prepare a donkey's dish. So the Chazon Ish makes a few points on this Gemara. First of all, the Chazon Ish says that he thinks that the simple reading of this Gemara is not like his great grandson is going to learn. Is his great nephew? How does it go? Reb Chaim Kanievsky's son is his great nephew. Right, his great nephew. So this is a fantastic sefer we'll make reference to. Some of the things we developed are different. This is by Reb Yitzchak Shaul Kanievsky, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's son. So he presents that it could be that there are many who hold that a charedel is at most an iser derabbanan. The Chazon Ish is not convinced about that. He thinks that it could very well be that a charedel is an iser d'oraisa. Make sure that we're talking about a d'oraisa. However, if you do a shinui, what we've been talking about, a shinui in the gibul itself, and the Chazon Ish spells out, the shinui of the gibul biyad as opposed to bekli. So then in such a case, that shinui is a shinui that makes it's not lisha, it's not a maisa lisha at all. This is a hachana for maichel behema. The Chazon Ish says this in Nun Ches Dalet. This is in your photocopies, the third page, four lines in. He says, "Va'af im neima de tiruf b'koach havid araisa, yesh lomar de be'iruv lo chashiv lashman adin, v'lo mishum shinu yasin on alav." He says he doesn't think that this is that over here by charedel. What we're talking about is any type of lisha, because when you're not torif it b'koach, so then in such a case when you're doing it biyad, so then in such a case that is not going to qualify as lisha minator. If you're not doing it the normal way, the kli, so then in such a case, then that would be not lisha altogether. So again, we have some who learn that when it comes to a lisha biyad, so then that's not going to be a full-fledged lisha altogether, and that would be a hatstaka for those in Klal Yisrael who, for whatever reason, weren't makbid in terms of the tuna fish and eggs out, but they were careful to do a real shinui. We'll discuss the parameters of that real shinui shortly. They were careful to do that. So then, in such a case, then that would be acceptable. Yes, Ramati.
The Chazon Ish
would
say even for like Shasti
the Erev Shinui. Oh. So we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that shortly. The Siyanta Dishma, we'll get to that. Just 1 second. Along the lines of this analysis of the Chazon Ish on the next page in your photocopies, in Nun Ches Ches, at the end of Nun Ches Ches, in Dibur HaMaskel Ha Demutar, the Chazon Ish says the following, V'nira Lefize, halfway through, Shem Lovej Gemi, O Shifoferes Shel Mateches Aletzbo, he says, you're not going to even be allowed to wear a glove. You hear this? You're not going to be able to wear a glove. Because that's going to already qualify as being Torah Bikli. Okay, that's something else. So the Chazon Ish learns that it has to be Mamish Biyad, because how does the Chazon Ish understand this Shinui of Etzbo? Look back, Rabosai, in the Ramah. How did the Ramah say it? Hagah. He uses his finger. So the Chazon Ish understands that that heter of be'etzpo is literally be'etzpo. He uses his finger like it being a case of Michael Behema. Hence, the Chazon Ish says that to use a glove would also be problematic. What's the point? The point is that just like you're not sensitive to the horse, of when you're preparing for the horse, that it's going to be disgusting to him that you use your hand. So too, that's going to be the heter, because this is not a maisa lush altogether. However, Ramesha Feinstein disagrees. Ramesha Feinstein, in his tshuvas, may I borrow your dear shoe? Shikar, thank you very much. Ramesha Feinstein, in his tshuvas, in Dalid Ayin Dalid, says that he thinks that it doesn't make a difference of whether you use a etzba or not. Then in either instance, the halacha would be that would be okay. as long as you're doing something that is not the normal way of mixing. Now, the Dirshu in page 100, in note 105, points out that there are many nafgaminos between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish. And we alluded to some of them. Number one, according to the Chazon Ish, this is not a shinui. This shinui is not a conceptual difference. This shinui is not a shinui in terms of the result. But rather, the whole maisa is not considered a maisa lisha. This whole maisa is lishas chamorim. It's not lishas behema. In contrast to the way Rav Moshe understands it, Rav Moshe understands that the chiluk is going to be not only a chiluk in the maisa, it's going to be a chiluk in the result. Hence, we come to Ramati's Ha'ara, that according to the Chazon Ish, so then in such a case, it could very well be that Shesi V'arev is a totally different type of shinoi when it comes to the shinoi be'etzba. And therefore, the heter of Shesi V'arev will not necessarily work on a level of do reis. So Lav Dafka are the two the same type of shinoi. And the Dirshu points out, the Ha'ara that we made, that Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Mar Mokum is Dalad Ayin Dalad Losh Sif Katan Yud Aleph, says that an Iruv Al Yedei Sakin, that's not the normal way to mixing, is also going to be mutter. And last week we had mentioned that Minchas Yitzchak says any shinui kolduhu is going to be acceptable in the case of the Trumas Hadeshen. So all of those are different than the Chazon Ish's approach, that to say that when you're doing shinui be'etzbo, it's going to be an entirely different shinui. One more point that the post can make, even if we're not going to go as far as the Chazon Ish, and we're going to assume that a shinui shesi va'arev is also a shinui that will work even in the case of blila ava. However, it should be noted that the Chazon Ish has another chumra even in that case. Even in an instance where the shesi va'arev is going to be acceptable, the Chazon Ish points out that Rashi learns when on the Gemara of shesi va'arev, Rashi says that's on Kuf Nun Vav. So there Rashi says when you do shesi va'arev, you have to take the kli out every time. In other words, here's the knife that you're using. You're doing the shinui, and let's assume, like Rav Moshe says, that as long as you're not being toref b'koach, that's going to be a fine shinui in regards to ava. So you do once, twice. So the Chazon Ish says you have to take the spoon or the knife out, and then again once, twice. That's what it seems to be from Rashi. Rashi says you do shesiv arif and take out the kli. Rashi doesn't say you have to do it only once, but you have to take out the kli. So the Chazon Ish says that that seems to be part of the shinui, that you have to take out the kli every time, which means there'll be a long, long process of making the tuna salad. Others suggest no. That's not what Rashi meant. Rashi just meant that if you do this quickly, eventually what happens is your arm begins to move in a circular motion. That's all Rashi was concerned about. But you don't have to mamish take the kli out every time. So that is some of the discussions in regards to the nature of the shinui. It would seem to me actually a kula b'zman hazeh that I don't know. You could be mefakpek, but this is just throwing out for the base medrash that nowadays. Once upon a time, when I was a kid, no one served anything with a finger. But nowadays, the entire mitzvah has changed. So you could argue it changes, makes it a chumra or a kula. But for example, nowadays when you go to a vegetable bar, let's say someone's serving you in a bagel place. So when I was a child, they always used the prongs to serve. Nowadays you put on gloves and they serve with gloves. So it seems to be much more common for people to use their hands than it once upon a time was. So you could go and you go in two directions with that. You could say then that because it's so common to use the hand, then the hand is no longer a shinui. Or you could say that the hand is still a shinui, but it's normal to use a glove on the hand as well. So therefore, it's not going to be a problem according to the Chazon Ish. But the Metzius has changed a little bit in regards to the hands. Rabbi El Malay at the Torah Shraga meeting said that the guard told him that in the middle of the night he saw someone go into the coffee room and was playing with the sugar with their hands. I was thinking of using this for 10-minute musar. I don't know if you can drink coffee today. Yeah, go ahead.
Credit the Chazon Ish, yes. One case would Shasi Be'erev, their work, or necessary. Sula Raka doesn't need any shinoi.
Well,
no, but according to the Chazon Ish himself, he would say it's that case in the Gemara. In other words, we had Shesi and Kali and so on. I think that's
the Chazon.
So that brings up the other question we alluded to the last time, that there's some poskim who say that they think that there's no formula that's matter everything. It depends on whether it's Domet to Shesi or whether it's Domet to Kelly. So al regalachas, that's I think the Chazon should hold, but I didn't think enough about that. But I think al regalachas, I think that's what would emerge. Okay, so that is in regards to the tuna and the charoses and so on. In regards to shinuim, and we spoke about that. Yeah, okay. There is, as we had mentioned, tuna in exile, so that's a newer phenomenon. There is an older phenomenon, and that is what's referred to in Yiddish as Zwieblach. Zwieblach is an old European meichel, and what they would do is, it was a mixture of eggs, liver, onions, and some type of binding thing. I don't know, Reb David, what they used before I was born, but I would imagine it was a time that they didn't use mayonnaise, but would they use some type of vinegar and so on to add some type of something into this mixture. But it's an old European meichel. I think many Hasidim who have the custom to eat it, so they nowadays they add mayonnaise. The problem is that they used to, I remember my uncle Behibi well preparing it at the meal on Friday night. It's an old Hasidic custom to prepare it at the meal. One of the women told me that it's still served in fancy hotels, but what they give you is they give you liver, they give you a little bit of eggs, and they give you a little bit of onions and so on. Everybody does it on their own. Problem is, why is that not lush? That l'chura should be lush. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Kedarko B'Kodesh liked to defend the minhagim of Klal Yisrael. So in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, you have this on page Pei Gimel and Pei Dalet in your photocopy. Unfortunately, Pei Dalet came out upside down, but it's there. Rav Shlomo Zalman had a few justifications for it. The Minchas Yitzchak, before we see Rav Shlomo Zalman's heter, I have photocopied for you the Minchas Yitzchak all the way in the back of the booklet. Minchas Yitzchak claimed that you could just use the straight-up taz. You didn't need Rav Shlomo Zalman's chidushim. And the Minchas Yitzchak said, at the end of the day, you can't prepare it before Shabbos, especially if you're eating at lunch, because it's well known that the Gemara Nida on Daf Yud Zayin, this is Minchas Yitzchak, is in Chelek Tes, Simin Lamed. It's well known that the Gemara Nida on Daf Yud Zayin says that you're not allowed to leave an onion left out that's been peeled, or garlic that's been peeled, and it seemed like this minhag, I don't know if there's a skula that's ascribed to it. For example, there's a skula that's ascribed to eating garlic on Friday night. I don't know if there was a skula that's ascribed to Zwieblach, but it seems that the onions were a very, very important part of it. So therefore, the Minchas Yitzchak says, this is no different than the guacamole that's going to spoil if you prepare it on Erev Shabbos. And so then it becomes part of the category of the Taz. Why? Because the Gemara Nida says that it's a bad thing to leave onions that are overnight and that there'll be a ruach ra on them. So therefore, he says that that's going to be problematic. Interestingly, there is a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Yoredeah Chelek Gimel, Simin Chaf, where Rav Moshe discusses these issues. I wasn't taught these issues about onions that are left overnight, eggs that are left overnight, that are peeled left overnight, but that's based on Gemara Nida Daf Yud Zayin. I wasn't taught it because it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. And there's a big discussion in Darchei Tshuva whether we're choshesh for it or not. Rav Moshe concludes that it seems that Rashi didn't have the girsa of an egg that's peeled not to leave it overnight. If you take a look, Rabbi Ribiak, in this discussion making Zwieblach, he points out that he heard from his Rabbi in 87E that it's not going to be a problem to leave it in a plastic bag, that leaving it in a plastic bag will not be a problem. And finally, he says that in the Sefer Archa Shabbos, this is page Tafcha Ches, in Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, he says in a Sefer Archa Shabbos, they quote that the Chazon Ish was makbid to have it prepared before Shabbos. And whatever the Minchas Yitzchak's concern was a concern, for whatever reason the Chazon Ish did not have that concern, kanireh, that it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and he thought that the Makom Tzarech Shabbos, one shouldn't compromise Hilchos Lash. And the Minchas Yitzchak disagreed. Minchas Yitzchak felt that you could use the Taz, and once you use the Taz, the halacha would be that one would be able to prepare it before Shabbos. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman tried a different route. Rav Shlomo Zalman tried the route of coming up with a halachic solution why this would not be characterized as Lisha altogether. So you have the Minchas Yitzchak that says the real Tzarech. Chazon Ish says that there's no Tzarech you should prepare before Shabbos. And the Rav Shlomo Zalman, who tries to be matzdik the minhag within Hilchos Lash, that it won't be relying on the Taz, but rather would be based on something else. So here in the Shmir Shabbos Hilchos on page Pei Gimel on the bottom, he quotes something quite interesting. And that is that when the mayonnaise is being used to bind, then that's lush. However, if the mayonnaise is being added just as another ingredient, but not as a way of creating a compound, so then in such a case, that would not qualify as lush. The Chazon Ish makes this point, and is quoted by the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa all the way in the beginning of his Hagdara of Meleches Lush, that the Chazon Ish is of the opinion that that lush is defined by a maisa that brings together two food items. If it doesn't bring and attach two food items together, then it wouldn't qualify as lush. We're going to make reference, Bli Neder, to that Chazon Ish next time. It appears in Nun Ches, the Ramasl of Yesh, that the Chazon Ish is of the opinion that doesn't qualify as lush if the liquid is if it's not bringing together two things and creating a compound, then that does not qualify as lush. Therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests, similar to that Chazon Ish, he says if the mayonnaise is being added just as another ingredient, but not with the desire to create a new compound, in such a case, that's going to be mutter. Shemat Me'ag Rashad's 5 lines of Banu and Pei Gimel, the Kiva Shirotzim Raklar Beiv. By the way, from what I remember from my uncle, baby, well, that's how they eat it. It's not that they're trying to make a new thing called a new concoction of liver, egg salad, etc., etc. All it is a way of bringing all the foods together. Mashlama davar doma, like someone who puts on their potato kugel, puts the coleslaw and some pieces of meat and so on and so forth. It was never meant to create a new gush. And the Isra of Lisha is to create a new gush. Clearly, Rav Shlomo Zalman is being matzik, the minhag, but what comes out from this Rav Shlomo Zalman is a very, very important yisod. And that is that if you have something that is being used in what seems to be lush, but it's simply another ingredient, there is this chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman that you could use to justify, and that's how Rav Shlomo Zalman was matzdik the minhag. Another justification Rav Shlomo Zalman uses is the Be'er Halacha that we already learned. We had a Be'er Halacha that said that if the food items are all already prepared, so then that's no longer going to be lush d'oraisa. It's what the Be'er Halacha called tikkun ochel. Everybody remember that important Be'er Halacha? We had that Be'er Halacha in Dibur HaMaschil Shema Yavo. That there he said that when you have this item, when the items are already all prepared, then that's going to be okay. So what do you have? You have cooked liver. What do you have? You have a cooked egg. So then in such a case, maybe there's room to say that at best it's going to be a derabbanan. So once Rav Shlomo Zalman knocked it down to the rabbanan with that heter of the Be'er Halacha, so then it makes his next heter of saying that's not even a maisa lush altogether even more palpable. So that's going to be the way in which, on the one hand, we learn a new yesod, yet at the same time, we have also a hatstaka for the minhag. Yes?
I assume this is, you can't go running with this heter, you just limit it to the minhag of, what was it?
The tziblach, right.
Tziblach. But technically, I mean, I'm personally a person who likes my tuna with my mayonnaise, I like more mayonnaise than my tuna.
Okay.
So for me, it's much more of an ingredient than a binder.
Right, but the question is, when it comes to, if that's true for this European dish, almost everybody that when they eat tuna, no one's eating. Is there anybody out there that would feel comfortable eating, taking tuna from the can, and then putting a glob of mayonnaise on top and eating them both together? Right? It doesn't matter whether you like more mayonnaise or not, less mayonnaise. Now, there's something about a tuna salad that having the mayonnaise mixed with the tuna, that the mixture itself makes something, creates something. Shlomo Zalman seems to be suggesting, where you draw the line is a little bit sensitive, but at the end of the day, that this mixture was something like that. It wasn't made into a new gush. It was a better way than the Kugel example is a cracker. When you have a cracker, you've got a bunch of things that you put onto the cracker. You put on, for those who like herring, they put on herring, and then there's an onion, but not only the onion, then they put on some other things, assuming that you could eat it with the herring, not anything flacious, right? But then you put a few of those things on, you eat them together. That's what Shlomo Zalman is suggesting, and that's going to be. So therefore, I don't think that there's anybody for tuna salad that would be the similar phenomenon. Yes,
so the yogurts that, like, kids, you know, put the stuff that's on top of the yogurt.
Right.
So you're not trying to, even if the kids subsequently mix it sort of in, they're not trying to create like a gush, but I guess they're trying to eat them together.
Right. I don't think that would be a gush at all. I don't hear any shaila in such a case at all. That would be lechura. That would be heter gamur. Yeah.
Why is that not like a psik reisha? Meaning, even if you're doing it as an ingredient, you're
right,
doing the same thing.
Right. I was bothered by that question.
Unless he's saying it's not making a compromise.
That's what he says. Here are Shlomo Zalman's words. The kivan shirotzim rak la'arbev umakbidin shelo yitavu mamish kush echad. So they don't want it to be mamish kush echad. In contrast, that gets back to Rav David's question, in contrast to the tuna salad, there you want it to be mamish kush echad, and then in such a case it would be mutter. Coming back to Shas Hadchak, we have a case of a child. So I just want to emphasize that there is an important Chazun Ish. The Chazun Ish in Nun Ches Ches, right above the paragraph that we read, Dibra Maskel Ha, Dibra Maskel Kishikotshin. So the Chazun Ish points out that in the case of a child, we could be Mekel like Rov Poskin. He says, Kishikotshin Aperas because of the Sakina, Kedina. If you mash, remember, this Chazon Ish is not too much relevant, it's not very relevant today, Shabbos in and Shabbos out, because of baby food. When the Chazon Ish was writing, they really didn't have baby food. So he describes that when you mash fruits with a shinui, that we've discussed in the past, that it'll be mutter to mash it with a shinui, and then you want to mix lemon inside, ein iser b'schitasa mishum schita. So here you have three potential isurim that we're doing a chazar on three different lachos. So if you're squeezing the lemon into the food, that's going to be mutter. Tochen, it's not going to be a problem because you did a shinui by using the handle of the spoon. Kim l'socha l'tochochel. Avol isur mishum lash, but you have lash. L'das ha-machmir k'rebi, according to those who are machmir like Rebbe. Avol kima che'osen kei mishvil mezvonos ha-tinog, yesh... Lahakel Kadasro Poskim, Avil Ya'arevelo Yitrov. So here's where the Shmir Shabbos Gilchas on Paraches Halach Yud Aleph got his idea that Latinok will also be Mekel. So the bottom line is, to review, that we've seen that a Blila Ava is generally according to the Trumas Hadesh and Aser, and according to Ramon the Mishkura Aser. However, we have these three exceptions. The exception of where it wasn't ready before, it wasn't ready before Shabbos, and you had forgotten, like the case of the Charoses, the case of the Tinok, and then we had a third. What was the third? Charoses, Tinok, and a spoil. The case of spoiling, that's going to be an exception. And finally, just to summarize what we had done after that, we had seen that in regards to Shinui, the Chazon Ish is into the shinui of using the yad, while Rav Moshe Feinstein disagreed. Minchas Yitzchak was also much more mekel. Then, when one is doing a shinui, there, I think the minhag is to follow Rav Moshe's kula in this regard. In regards to the, I just remembered one thing that was annoying in the back of my head that I hadn't told you. Rav Nevensal Shlita did tell me, when I asked him about the fact that there were some people who were makel in regards to tuna salad, he did say that he thought that that the one hatzdaka would be what Rav Shlomo Zalman had said. That Rav Shlomo Zalman had said that since the mayonnaise is being added into it as an ingredient, so then in such a case, then it wouldn't qualify as an Isser. So we look back just now, and looking in Rav Shlomo Zalman's Lashon, Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's only going to be acceptable if you don't make it into, your desire is not to make it to a gush. But he pointed out that if it's being added entirely as an ingredient, that was what we were just being mefalpel with before, so then in such a case, there might be room for to be makel. Emir Tzai Hashem, next time, I saw there was a question over here, next time we'll pick up with a few more practical examples of lisha in terms of items that are already cooked and how far we're going to take the heter of the bear halacha that we made reference to before. And the bottom line, as we started out with previously, is that the psak of the Trumas Hadeshen, the Magen Avram himself at times didn't paskin like. He himself didn't paskin like it. So today we saw that the exceptions that one could even use of Lula Ava. Yeah.
The case of the Mishnah Berurah, which is something that the Shmur Shabbos based himself on, of Harusas. So how do you, and then the Shmur Shabbos is clearly making reference to that when he says that it has to be that you daken your dispute. Like the same as one daken its Harusas on Leil Seder. But like, how do you decide how much you need it, is if it passes the threshold of needing it like Harusas or not?
So that's vague. The only thing we could do to answer that question is to go back to Shmur Shabbos' words. The words of Shmur Shabbos are...
that you need that food.
Right? Yeah. That you need that food. Huzakuk
l'maychal zeh. You mean I need it because that was what I was planning to serve, so now I need it.
I would say that my understanding of it is that you would not have... A normal healthy meal without it, then that would qualify for myself for my whole set.
I still think it's a hard case because Harusas is a mitzvah derabbanan. So like that's not really gonna happen unless you're talking about like Lecha Mishnah or something.
No, so I think every person without exaggerating, every person will make a cheshbon of what they normally eat at Shal Shabbos, and if they look around and they normally have tuna fish, and for whatever reason they were onus and they couldn't prepare tuna fish beforehand, and all they have, let's say they serve three dishes and they don't have protein, Lanius Daimi, that's enough. But at the same time, it doesn't. If you already have a protein, then even if it's not your favorite, then. In such a case, that would be acceptable. But if all you had was, let's say, a challah roll and crackers, and you didn't have a protein, or you had a challah roll and a salad, and you didn't have, normally there's another ingredient, another dish that goes along with it, then I think that would be considered zakuk l'maychal zeh. You're right, that the charosas case is not exactly the same thing. But we have a source for that, because we saw that the Taz already was Mako if it's going to spoil before Shabbos. So we do see the idea that if it's normal to have that food during that period of time, then in such a case, and that's enough to rely on doing a Maisa Gibel on...
But we don't necessarily say the Taz was Mako when you forgot.
Correct.
The Taz Mako
correct.
Was EF Shir.
Correct.
If you forgot, maybe the amount.
Correct.
So you still have to use Mishnah Berurah.
But that EF shirt, what we're driving at, is that EF shirt you could have said, eat something else. So we don't say that. That's why I'm bringing that as a right. That from EF shirt, we don't say that you could have just eaten something else. So that would be considered so. Meida pisa, if the only issue is that you want to impress your guests, etc., etc., then it could very well be that would not be appropriate. Okay, Rabosai, I don't know if we need three full days on Lisha in terms of preparation. For Thursday, because we've basically done most of the actual Chomer in terms of the Gemaras and the Sugya. On the other hand, I do think that because Lush does have a lot of components to it, there's a lot of Gibul in it, so I think that it's Kedai to I intentionally didn't do everything today, and we'll do it on Thursday. Emir says, Shem, we're going to be starting Shehi and Achzara already on Monday. So those are big sugi. So what I would recommend is, for those of you who can, Vlinado, I'll try to send you already the Marim Komos for Shehi and Achzara. What I recommend is, first of all, there might be some stuff in Lisha that you still need to work on. But in terms of Marim Komos, the Marim Komos are going to be more Shehi and Achzara heavy as opposed to Lisha heavy. In other words, should be doing a lot of Chazara on Lisha now, and already start you off on Shehi and Achzara, which is a big sugya. So Thursday will be a little more wrapping up. Monday, we have less hachana time for Monday Shir. So that's one day less. So already start thinking about preparing for Shehi and Achzara, and I'll try to get to you. I'll be able to get to the Marim Komos already in the next couple of days. Okay? Continue learning with the fire.
Thank you, Eric.
Shikar.